We can all be coaches, but that don't mean we're anti-environmental. Let's be good stewards of the world. Appreciate you being here.
Say 30 for the...
For now, we're working on some tourism. Bringing in people, so no traffic, no cars, what you said was kind of spot on. Can you do this in the paper form?
To welcome everybody to the Monday, February 6th meeting of the Mount Pleasant Public Services Committee. We are a little bit late starting, but we are doing what we said we're going to do, where we said we're going to do it. I'd like to welcome everybody. And the first order of business on the agenda is approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Second is public comments. Anybody from the public would like to comment on anything? Speak now? No Super Bowl comments? No? Okay. Employee years of service and recognition, I will turn that over to our staff.
Yes, sir, good morning. My star, Lundell, please come forward. Donald started 15 years ago in 2002 as a laborer for the Public Service Department. About a year later, he obtained his commercial driver's license. In 2005, he was promoted to a vehicle operator. And his most recent promotion was in 2007 as a crew leader. And Donald was recognized about a year ago for his work and his involvement for the storm of the century. Donald's the guy that, with his crew, makes sure these ditches that we have, they're not obstructed and they flow. And during the storm of the century, if we had some obstructions in some of these canals, we would have had some issues. And we fared out very well in the storm of the century. And also for Matthew, Donald was hands-on before and after during this event. And I want to congratulate Donald for a job well done and for his 15 years of service.
Hey. We have a constituent, a family that lives in one of our neighborhoods, and they had had a drainage issue and heard from this family quite often, and their drain needed to be cleaned. And then they called me one day and they said, y'all sent the nicest man out who headed a crew to clean this drain, which can be a thankless task, and maybe, you know, sometimes you can be task-oriented, not people-oriented, and guess who it was? It was Donald, and I want to thank you for that.
Mr. Hanley, before we go any further, I would like to introduce a new employee that we have. Sarah, would you please name? Sarah is the maiden name of Sarah Van Cott, so you may have written over by that name, but she was just recently married, and it's Miedemeyer. And Sarah has taken our staff engineer position in the Public Service Department. She'll be working on her kids.
Great.
And I want to thank you for coming, and we look for a big things from you.
Welcome. Glad to have you here. Does that conclude that item?
Yes, sir.
Fourth, we have asked the staff to evaluate on what we did and how it worked in the debris removal contract we have with the county and how all that worked. As you know, we had a significant event that followed a significant event that followed a real significant event the year before. And our staff did a great job. And I just want to say one more time, remember, everybody else 48 hours after the storm was kind of back on schedule. For public services, the extra load continues for weeks and months. And they did that while they kept doing the day-to-day things that keep the town running. I always tell everybody, we make the headlines on zoning and impact fees and all this kind of stuff, and that stuff happens every once in a while, but everybody's garbage gets collected every week. Every day this town has to work, and y'all are the people that make it work, and I appreciate that. And so we wanted to take a look at when something this big happens, and we did, I think y'all know, an outstanding job, the town did an outstanding job of cleaning up this debris, keeping the public informed, letting people know when their neighborhood debris was going to be. And I'm sure my colleagues on council will tell you, we got phone calls, emails, and Facebook messages about that. And the best thing to know was there's a plan and there's a schedule, and as long as people know there's a plan and a schedule, they're happy. And I want to commend you all again for doing that, but I want us to look at this and make sure as we look towards the future that we, as town council, are equipping y'all and giving y'all the resources and the manpower and the funding you need, because there will be other events like this. So if y'all will just take it from here.
Yes, sir. I'm going to cover this in two areas, and I'm basically a debris removal arrangement with Charleston County went very well for the town. And we were successful because of some reasons, specific reasons. And one, as I'm going to show you, is our existing transfer operation that we had at 6 months. That was the backbone of our success. You notice the other picture. Second is, we had a transfer hauler already on site, ready to move the debris as it came into 6 Mile, which helped us free up some space in order to handle additional debris that was coming in. Once this facility met its capacity, we were able to move it to our second debris transfer site, which is an aerial of the Seaweed training facility. The piles that you see there are the debris. That one pile right there and maybe that pile have already been ground or chipped when this picture was taken. Today, the debris is gone. Now they're in the cleanup process of cleaning up the area of the residual that may be left over and the ruts that may be there.
Joey, can I stop you just real quick?
Yes, sir.
Can you give us an estimated amount of how much that debris is in that photo?
131,000 cubic yards.
Thank you.
And that's a comparison to all the other municipalities and government agencies that were collecting and where they were taking it. Town of Mount Pleasant did very, very well. And I'll have to go to our public works, our sanitation guys, and everybody that was involved. Went above and beyond during this effort, and we shined. We did very well. We were the first to reach that mark. It took county and other municipalities a while to get there. But we were at the 131,000 cubic yards and above, probably before anybody else. And it's because we had two sites. And that's critical to any type of storm. We had a Category 1.
Yeah.
Think about it as a 3 or 4 or a 5. Where do we go there? We need to start planning. We'll need to look at parking lots, other places to eventually go. So that is something on the drawing board that we need to consider looking into the future. Where do we take the debris? Because this site was also a site that we're able to grind. Some sites you cannot grind. You have to haul. So this was a plus for us also. We're able to grind at this facility. Can't burn, but we could grind. I talked about already having the hauler contractor in place. That was critical. We had daily meetings with the contractor. Now, our meeting with the contractor, there was a subcontractor called Ashgrid, who had another group that works under them. We met daily with them. And hearing from other municipalities, they didn't have daily meetings. And our daily meetings were critical because we were able to direct, schedule, and know what was going on to the town on a daily basis. We were able to change immediately when something was not working. The contractor was very flexible and was ready to implement our plan and move ahead in an organized manner. Communication between the town forces and the contractor were excellent. I don't want to say these are negative things that I'm getting ready to say, but there's areas that we need to improve. This was an unusual storm. It took from the coast of Florida all the way up to North Carolina. What was our main problem that we had is the equipment and manpower was a little slow in getting to us. It got here, but it was a little slow. Some equipment that they used was too large to work in some of our subdivisions. Example, ION. ION's a beast in itself on a good day, but the equipment was, they had was too large. So town forces addressed Ion. Town forces addressed some of the old village area because the equipment these contractors came in with were too big to get under some of the oak trees. And they were breaking limbs and damaging equipment. So town forces addressed the old Mount Pleasant area. And one other thing that we found out is we need to know when we're working with county what specific information needs to be shared between town and the county on a daily basis. And what I'm talking about is we were working through the contractor that the county gave us, thinking that this information, because they had daily meetings also, thinking that our information was being shared back with them. We found out very quickly that wasn't the case. We were marching along and doing very, very well, but all of a sudden, three groups were yanked from us, and we're saying, what's going on? Well, county pulled three groups away from us. They came back in a couple of days, but there was no communication. We were able to address that. We were able to get with county and say, look, what's going on? We need them back. They brought them back, but it was a surprise. It was like, what happened? But we worked through that, and we were able to get the debris collected. That was the only hiccup that we had with this contract, in my opinion. It worked very well.
Jody, may I ask, was that a county staff level decision, or was that a county contractor decision?
I believe it was a contractor's decision, because there was, if you listen to the news, and if you listen to Facebook, and if you listen to everything else, Mount Pleasant was shining. And these numbers could be seen on Facebook or on the website. And everybody's saying, how is Mount Pleasant doing what they're doing, and we're not getting the service that we want? So I think that was the issue. It was pressure from the citizens in other areas trying to say, what's going on? How can Mount Pleasant do this? And we can't do it in the city of Charleston. We can't do it on James Island. We can't do it west of Ashland. Where are the resources? So they pulled a couple for a couple of days, but they eventually came back, and we were able to continue to march along. That's about the pros and the cons, or the negatives I have in reference to this thing. It worked fine. This was a very small storm. But if we're looking at a 4 or 5, there's some other issues that we need to face, and that's going to be the transfer site that's critical, because you can't mix it. You're going to have to take your construction debris and separate it and you vegetate it.
And this storm was mostly vegetated.
99.5% of it was vegetated.
There's hardly any structural that I saw. Questions on that?
Well, you guys did a great job.
Thank you.
Bottom line.
Yeah, I'd like to echo that, Jody. You guys outshined the rest. With the county contractor, can we put something in place in the future to ensure that those kinds of issues don't arise again? And we were also very fortunate to pull in other municipalities during a few periods of time where they were able to help us expedite the process of removal.
I want to thank council for allowing us to do that. And we did receive a phone call from one municipality saying, how did y'all do that? How did y'all get the other municipalities account? We have a mutual agreement, and we put the mutual agreement in, and it worked. Now, we may have to return that one day, but they came, and they were lifesavers. They helped us tremendously.
I think we would gladly return that favor. Their category 2 ice storms are a lot less frequent than our tropical storms.
Joe, yeah. You mentioned the importance of having another debris transfer site. How large does that need to be? Are there any specific requirements?
Well, DHEC has to come out and look at it first. And they have to approve it. My transfer site is 6 miles already approved. Mm-hmm. So we use that already on a normal operation. Prior to the storm, we were already, our debris in that yard was none at all, very little. However, when we moved it to, we really wanted to move it to the Rifle Range Road Park. There's a horse lot out there. Mm-hmm. It was a huge area. Mm-hmm. However, with the truck starting to enter it, they were having issues with bogging down and not able to get their load to where they needed to go. So we had to back up from there and look at the next site. And the next site was on our drawing board, has always been on our drawing board, was the seaweed transfer site. We knew it was hard surface getting in there, and we knew it could survive. So DHEC had come in and gave us authorization that they could allow this for a transfer site and a grinding site. They gave us approval, we moved immediately there. Site that you see here, I know that this facility is going to expand, but that was adequate for the debris that we had for this storm. Yes, we hauled a lot at 6 miles, but what I had to do at 6 miles, I had to prepare for when the cutoff was. Normally they allow you 2 runs for a storm, your first initial pass and your second pass. We had made our second pass, and we were there already completed. So now I said, all right, we need to start hauling our normal routes, and we can't mix it with storm debris.
Right.
So we had to bring it to 6 miles. We wanted to make sure the 6 mile site accepted without intermingling it with the storm debris. Remember, for the first 3 or 4 weeks, we had not picked up any C&D material. Only thing we were concentrating on was the vegetative material. So then our C&D material pile became huge. So I needed to save it, my 6 mile facility, two places, one for vegetative debris and one for C&D. And we were able to accommodate that because we were able to get the debris out of our facility when it was time to start back on our normal runs.
Okay, but do we need a third site? I guess I'm looking at this having a transfer. Do you need another transfer site, or we can work with what we have if we press 6 mile into service?
What we'll need to look at in the future, and it depends on the size of the storm. I'll just throw up an example. If it's a Category 4 or Category 5, the overflow parking lot, dirt lot at the waterfront park, there'd be a place you put it for temporary use. Parking lot at Jones Center, you may put it in one of the parking lots at the Jones Center for temporary use. You may even get to the point where you have so much debris, you may have to consider using the football field.
So we possess the assets to do that if need be.
Yes, sir.
Within town.
We would hope the county sooner or later would open up a facility somewhere where they could burn, and they have some place somewhere that the town could bring everything to.
And you say we're going to expand this site, the Seaway Road training facility?
Well, I think there's stuff for a CIP project, and eventually there's something for the police and fire that this facility will eventually be expanded in the next 5, 10, 15 years, that could be expanded to classrooms or shooting range or something.
So that's something we're going to have to look at funding, in addition to the shooting range or fire training area. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Eric, any, I guess a question I have is the nature of the debris removal contract runs through the county. There's FEMA funding and all that stuff involved. What is the ongoing status of that? In other words, is it like a lot of contracts? Oh, we just had a hurricane. Gosh, we weren't really planning on that. Let's renegotiate or change this contract. Is it going to work like it worked for us this time?
In concept, having the contract with the county makes a lot of sense. Typically after a storm like this, there's a lot of widespread destruction. And who follows but the storm chasing companies that bring their own, bring a lot of assets. They are more likely to respond to places that have a larger area and a larger contract because it's more profitable.
Mm-hmm.
So staying with the county in that contract makes the most sense for us. But what typically happens in terms of improving the contract going forward,
mm-hmm,
is that if they haven't done it yet, they will soon. They'll bring together sort of an all-heads meeting of everyone incorporated in the contract, all the municipalities, and say, hey, what worked, what didn't work, let's try to improve it. So there is a chance the contract, the likelihood the contract will get better. Where I don't think it will get better is this idea of there are many benefits to going with the county, some I already mentioned. The one big drawback is we give up control of the contract. And so this idea of what was happening to us, as Jody mentioned, where we're doing well, we're doing well, we're doing well. Others are getting worried about where's our stuff.
Right.
And having contractors pulled without our knowledge or without our blessing is not going to change. That just underscores the importance of having our automatic aid agreements with these other municipalities, so that we can know that that is a possibility, that others will be pulled from us, but it's okay because we have more resources available to us.
The automatic aid agreements with the other municipalities, what is that subject to periodic renegotiation or reaffirmation or something? Or?
Every year they're renewed.
Okay.
But typically what happens after 3 to 4 years of a long-standing agreement, I'll bring it to you and say, we've been doing this a few years, it's worked for us, do you still want to go ahead and do it, members of council? And for something like this, the answer has been yes, and then we go another 3-4 years and annually renew it at the okay. mayor's
center. Have we sent an expression of our appreciation or anything to those?
We have. Mayor Page is very active. She and her office have sent out letters, phone calls, gosh, one or two other things I know the mayor may remember. But we made sure, mayor wanted to make sure that we were over thankful.
Did we send them some shrimp?
We probably did.
You got to worry about sending pride as well. It's okay. You know, hats on the back work pretty well.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Anything else on this particular topic, Jody? Council members? Committee members? Okay. Let's move on to item 5, resource analysis of the Public Services Department. Everybody knows the rate of growth we're experiencing in Mount Pleasant. Not only is it growth, but there's change in that growth. We just want to make sure, and I know we're a little past time, so we might not go deeply in the weeds on this. We want to make sure that we're planning and equipping a Public Services Department that will do us for the future.
Public Service Department, this is the slide that's laid in our first page of our organizational chart. And I'd like to, as it exists today, and I would like to thank Council for allowing us to hire two positions in the 2016-2017 budget. And the two positions are the Facility Division here guy and the Stormwater Division Chief here. What that will do is allow us to improve on our operational capabilities to include our operational capacity. Those are two critical positions. I tell us that today as we speak, there's 140 employees within the Public Service Department. That number one, which is a frozen position, is included in that 140. Provided in your handouts, it tells you the year, the dwelling units, and the population. It also tells you about the positions that exist at that time. In 2000, there was 47,609 with the population. The town had 104 employees. What I'd like to talk about is in 2002, we were having issues with finding employees that we could that would apply for a job and that we could hire. Our hiring policy was hard to get someone to pass a drug test, someone to pass a physical, someone to have a driver's license. So we were having a very difficult time finding individuals to work. So at that time, council allowed us to hire, and these were one-time, full-time positions, hire through a temporary service to utilize them to fulfill the void that we were having. That worked very well for many, many, many years. But it also did, we weren't paying workers' comp, we weren't paying insurance on, we were paying just a salary to the staffing agency. And in 2008, the economy crashed, and then we were looking at ways, how do we solve this problem? So positions started to be frozen. It was either if a position came available, say it was a heavy equipment operator position, at that time it was frozen. And also that time, town administrator, Mr. Burdette, was telling us to freeze positions of our contractual, freeze them, because we wanted to make sure that full-time employees exist. We weren't going to cut any positions for full-time employees. Also at the time, we were looking for ways that we can improve cutting positions through creative ideas of how we can improve our services. So we went to the knuckle booms. Then we looked at our side loaders. When I say side loaders, we went from a three-man truck to a two-man truck. And this worked fine. So also, down the road, Mr. DeMoore came on board and had a great idea that we're going to transfer out our contract out our right-of-way maintenance, which we did. Several positions were frozen, several positions were cut. But we also at times saved about $250,000. Our next step was that Mr. Moore wanted us to look at contracting out the transfer operation. Great idea. Saved us about $250,000 a year. And through attrition, we were able to cut positions. It was about five of those. So also through the years, we were freezing positions and we were unfreezing positions. So as of today, we have 140 people in the public service department. We're authorized for 140 people. This information is a snapshot of what we got from the human resource department. I don't want to touch it. Personnel growth in the last 5 years. I'll start at the bottom. 2012, 13, no positions. 13 and 14, there were two labor positions unfrozen. Now, this is a little confusing because you're going to see 17 up there. They'll plug the position when it's filled in that year. So our facility manager position was filled January the 1st. Because of the budget process, we weren't going to hire anybody until January the 1st. So in 2014, 2015, we hired three. 2014-2015, we hired two people. In 2015-2016, we hired three. And that 2016-2015, that three people that we hired, if you don't recall, in 2014, we looked at our trash routes throughout the town. And growth towards the north was strong. So we had to do across-the-board adjustment to our sanitation routes. So we adjusted our routes to be even across the board Monday through Thursday. Affected about 8,000 people. Now we're in zones. Now we're positioned to where you can move zone-wise up as we need and won't have to affect as many people as we did the original time. What we also do when we do vehicle operators and laborers for sanitation, now this is garbage. We buy equipment the year before. You'll see the vehicle operator and the two laborers for the garbage crew did not come until January of 2015-2016. The equipment was already purchased the prior year, the garbage truck. Because it takes 8 to 10 months to get a garbage truck in. So we didn't want to have the crew waiting for a truck to arrive and have their truck to put them on. So we went ahead and ordered equipment, then with the truck's here, we fill it the next year. In the year that we're presently in now, there's nine positions that we've filled this year. We took five contractual laborers and made them full-time. We have three new positions in the stormwater division. That was division chief, NPDS inspector, and the field inspector. And the one position that we have for the facility division, that is basically, we have an automated town hall. And we are looking at our building assessment. If you looked at the CIP or the CMP, there's about $900,000 there for building assessment. That's something we've never had before. This year we've got $350,000. Next year, you'll talk about it at the retreat. There's about $900,000 in CMP for the building assessment. Phase one and phase two has been completed. That's starting to improve our buildings. So our facility guy, that's going to fall under his responsibility to include the new town hall, which is an automated building, which is a green building. Something new for us. To include splitting the division from grounds facilities and grounds to facilities, which will handle some of our custodial people, and also have put their arms around our building repair guys that will fall under this guy. So we're just putting that up a little bit. The question that was asked about our equipment, how do we go about replacing equipment? When do we know when equipment needs to be replaced? Well, we work with Forest Vehicle Services, and they have a life cycle plan. This is a life cycle plan that we have for our equipment. Not all equipment is deadlined on those specific dates. There's sometimes we have garbage trucks and they run a year or 2 years over. But then some of our garbage trucks, when they run a year or 2 years over, they're not deadlined either. They go to be a spare. And we use them as backups because there are going to be times when our garbage trucks go down and we're going to need it. So if I deadline two garbage trucks this year, the two I already have in the spare right now will be sold and the two will replace the ones that I have. So it's more or less remove out of the everyday use, put in a hole for a spare, and the spares go away, the older spares go away. We discussed this at our budget time. It's discussed with Mr. DeMoore. We go in detail and we look at what we can afford and what we can't afford. And can we go another year or 2 years? So that is in the planning process. We are we're preparing for budget now, and we'll look at where we go with needing a necessary equipment. I can tell you this year, we don't need a garbage truck. We don't need a scour loaders. We'll probably need them 2 years from now. We're not ready for our trash crew yet. We already filled our garbage needs. We're not ready to fill our trash needs yet. So in equipment, it says new equipment in the last 5 years. Well, it actually should say replacement to include additional equipment. This is replacement, and these are new. And I'd like to thank council for standing behind us on our recommendations to purchase the type of equipment that we want to get the job done. We buy some good equipment. Mack trucks, top of the line, they're the workhorse. They do the job. They have a great resale value. The ones in the red that you see up top have not been purchased yet. Excuse me. They have been purchased, but they have not arrived yet.
Haven't been delivered.
Have not been delivered. Two Vactor trucks are coming. Just a replacement of one, and to have another one to hopefully expand on our capabilities or our capacity in the stormwater division. The smaller packer is a small garbage truck to help us to address growth north instead of taking a huge garbage truck to Bulls Bay or to Causey Pond or to Pepper Hill. We take a smaller unit. This is like a six cubic yard truck, small. It's on the Zeus. It's something that also will help us get in some of the alleyways that we're having issues with in some of our neighborhoods.
Let me just ask a question. You have a street like Earl's Court, where it's tightly packed in there. Do they bring their cans down to the street, the public street, or do y'all go in to that street there and pull them out because they're individual residences?
So they should be bringing them to a specific location, and that is like Old Wilde.
Oh, okay, so they bring them out to
the
public.
They should be bringing them to Wilde.
Okay.
Mr. Moore has asked us to plan for the future. A strategic plan is one of the driving forces of planning for the future. Item number one, conducting a comprehensive review of the department's organizational chart and positions tasked to determine if any insufficiencies exist. As already stated on the first slide, the new facility and stormwater manager's position will allow us to improve our operational capacities to include our operational capabilities. And I'll talk a little bit more on the next slide about this. Number two, town will prepare and implement a strategy to minimize its GIS capabilities. The town has obtained a consultant to help us maximize our GIS abilities townwide. Number three, continue to strengthen the town's operational capacity. 2014, as I already said, sanitation routes were reconfigured to address growth. 2016, 2017, three new positions were added to the Stormwater Division to address new infrastructure inspections to include stormwater issues, stormwater quality issues. 2016, 2017, new facility manager position was added to the town hall to include infrastructure improvements to our facilities. 2016, 2017, one new position was added to the grounds division to add capacity within the grounds division itself. 2016, 2017, four new positions were added to the infrastructure division to address capacity issues within the division. And the acquisition of property on Leven Road will also strengthen our operational capacity for the department. Provide covered facilities for capital equipment in order to expand the life cycle use. Discussed during the recent retreat as a CIP project to develop a master plan for the existing facility to include the Leven Road facility. Continue the town's focus on and progress toward infrastructure investment, CIP and CM projects that were discussed during the retreat. Develop a more comprehensive schedule to inspect the infrastructure. We're presently working on a systematic program to inspect all infrastructure. We've completed our bridge master of our inspection on phase one of bridges and phase two of bridges. Have a few more to do. We completed phase one and phase two of our building assessments, which we've never had before. Phase one and phase two are done. Purchased a second vacuum truck to clean and inspect stormwater infrastructure. We have it, but we don't have the staffing. Provide better guidelines for infrastructure installation that addresses accessibility and long-term maintenance replacement issues. In progress, and we'll continue to share information between departments. There are some specific examples that we have improved on. Require isolation boxes on submerged drainage systems. And what I mean by that, many years ago, you'd have to pump down a 10-acre pond just to have access to a pipe system that was submerged. Now we are requiring them to install isolation boxes. So the only thing we have to do is pump down the isolation box, and now we can get access to our infrastructure. It's a whole lot easier. It's more efficient. Only allow concrete drainage pipes to be installed in town right-of-ways and easements. Prior years was metal, plastic. We've learned from our experience, concrete is the only way to go. Do not allow drainage boxes and ponds that are only accessible by crossing a body of water. There's some issues in older areas that we have to use a boat to access a storage box. We've corrected that. Specific type of backfill material can only be used. Many years ago, what they removed out of the trench, they put right back in the trench. Or they took all the vegetative material from the top dressing of the topsoil and the roots and put it into the trench. They don't allow that anymore. You go to a specific type of backfill material, and that's the only thing that we're going to require. Specific compaction rates must be met, 95% on the green area and 98% in the right-of-way, meaning that they have to provide us compaction tests. Many years ago before our inspection program, we didn't have that. Now we require them to provide it. So many feet, so much distance, have to reach a certain compaction rate. That is in the green area, which is on easements between yards, and then it's on the right-of-way, which could be under the road, that we require this. The Public Service Department has enough resources, manpower, and equipment to continue to perform its current capabilities requirements at the same capacity and level of service in the next budget year. Future public service growth will be dictated by required capabilities, capacities, and the level of service expected by town leadership or the residents. Over the course of the next 10 years, our expectation is that our capabilities will be challenged by the next three items: stormwater environmental requirements, data management administration, asset management, GIS, operational coordination management. That is what's going to challenge us in the years to come. Potential increased capacity. These are all things that we've already talked about. These are things that will, growth and the completion of specific projects over the next 10 years will have an impact on our capacity level. Population and dwelling growth. As I said earlier, we did a plan on the garbage collection. This is what we provided. And it almost, I think that they took it out almost to 2037. So we have a good idea of when we're going to need equipment and when we need manpower. But we are going to need it in the next 10 years. It's just how much. We know we're going to eventually need trash, and then eventually we're going to need sanitation. And when that happens, you're looking at 3 for 1 and 3 for the other. You're looking at 6, probably at least 6 in the next 10 years. That's just an example. We all know about the new complexes, Carolina Park. We talked about expansion. We talked about Shimbri Park expansion. We're on phase 2 now, looking at phase 3, could go further. We're looking at Rifle Range Road Park, which is on the drawing board to be completed or started, hopefully finished in the next 10 years. We look at infrastructure facility repair. When we do new buildings and new complexes, we might need to increase our facility management, our managers, or our repair crew. Asset management inspection and infrastructure improvement construction. These are some things. I didn't talk about the senior center, which could possibly be on the drawing board. And I didn't talk about Lehman Road or 6 Mile if the master plan comes. So in the next 10 years, these are things that have been discussed that are on the drawing board that could potentially affect our growth. Other consideration. Yes, we can contract some of this stuff out. Go back to the front, stormwater environmental regulations. It's going to affect our capabilities. Some of it could be contracted out. Some of it may not. It depends on where the leadership and how we want to go and what the public's going to demand. What issues can be consolidated by townwide solutions? And that's what we're talking about, GIS and data stuff. We're working on that. So there are solutions. Right now, I can't give you the answer to that. We're working on it. And that's all I have.
Jerry, thank you. What a great 10,000-foot view. Eric, thank you, all the staff, for what we're doing here, and members of council and the audience, and Joe. This gives us a good idea of what we need to be thinking about down the road. You know, parks and things are nice and all that, but everything comes with a price. And not forgetting the fact that as our recreation grows too, it's public services who's maintaining those fields and things too. So Rifle Range Road Park, down the road, but that's a biggie. And so, Joe, did you have any questions or anything?
Yeah, I did. Give me a few minutes.
Oh.
Eric? Yeah, and we just heard a very good description of what we've got, you know, big elephant in the room, and this isn't a round sided room, you know, it's square, but how much money are we talking about out through that 10 years where growth is going to perhaps outweigh our public services division? I mean, do we have any sort of a number for that?
Yes, sir, we do. We have it in our CIP. We also have it in the impact fee data that is almost arrived at. We'll be arriving soon at the council level. But in general, it's millions of dollars that's coming your way for two things, not just the, we have three things. You have natural expansion of the services Jody and the public services department provides based on just growth, just the natural course of things. And then you have the mandates that are coming down there force us into providing service, Water Quality, Clean Water Act, and BDES. But the third item is, you know, fire station 6 has been built. We need to make some improvements at our fire stations. Town Hall is almost done. The next big capital item really needs to be on, in my opinion, the oldest the point of the way, is a public services base of operations. Now we have it at 6 Mile. It's antiquated. We need efficiencies through facilities. And that's why, thanks to y'all giving the green light to a, another thing, design of what our headquarters, our base of operations should be going forward in the future. You did it in CIP. We said, go ahead and do it. We have two sites now, thanks to y'all acquiring the one out north. That will come back, a study will come back with how to do it, when to do it, what needs to be built, and that's going to be the big chunk along with about it. It's going to take a lot of money to build that, $20 million, $30 million.
Do you believe that with the amount of growth that we have planned, and what we will collect in property taxes on that growth, is that sufficient to pay for all the needs across the town? Because we're just talking public services now. We know about an 8th district for the police, fire. Do you see that our tax rate will be able to sustain that?
The short answer is no. Okay. I think there are a lot of things that can impact that. It so happened a robust economy with massive business expansion, the people who pay the bills. We know a single family home up to a certain point doesn't. So if you had some changes in economic forces that we don't expect, and the economy stays great forever, maybe you could get by. If the economy ends up being what we know happens, it's cyclical, there's ups and downs, based on the property tax rate you have now, we would.
How much would raising the impact fees to the maximum amount allowable help with that?
Well, I would say that it's no secret that the impact fee right now, from a purely practical X's and O's level, we know today the money you bring in for impact fees across the board doesn't pay for all the impact. So today, that money isn't capturing the cost, but that is council's will to let growth pay for growth. But over time, as you know, council sets the size of government, the limits of government. So if the information that's coming to you in the CIP of recommendations of what needs to be done to operate at the level they currently operate that way, the information that's provided, the impact fee study, you meet all those needs, the impact fees we have now won't do it. How much you choose to raise it, I can't say, but you need to raise it.
So, as I listen to what both you gentlemen have said, that even with increased impact fees and taxes that we know will come, albeit a year late, after Hauser, we're still going to have a delta of some sort between what we're collecting and the services that we're going to provide if we're going to maintain services. And to meet that delta, you can only reduce services or dig in all the corners and impact fees, of course, a part of that, property taxes are part of it. And, here in about 4 or 5 years, I think there's going to be a real kind of come to Jesus meeting about this thing. Because we've already, I think 3 years ago, property taxes were raised and stormwater fees were raised. And that's still an unfunded mandate, isn't it, with the stormwater, water quality?
It's getting very, very expensive.
Yeah. So, I think we need to start doing something now and look at this realistically, or in out years, it's going to be, the only thing that would correct that would be a massive property tax increase.
Because if I may, sir, what you're saying is, what we have is, we have a situation where, as y'all very well know, impact fees can only pay for new items that growth is responsible. Can't pay for maintenance and ongoing expenses. Well, we're sitting here today in a situation where we've outlined what the new needs, capital needs, to keep public services operating in the future, that they're going to increase. Well, right now, there's almost an inherent subsidy coming from general fund property taxes and other revenues to pay for some of these other needs. Matter of fact, you bought the, the Weedman Road area property.
Yeah.
You bought that property really from the general fund allocation, really from general revenues. So right now, we're kind of subsidizing new stuff. The big issue, the big problem coming our way that's really going to impact the general fund's ability to cover the new things is the request for service that we're getting in every department at a level far beyond our rate of population. So Jody's and his staff, they're getting calls, and they're responsible now for all kinds of things never expected before. Yet some of the general fund money is being siphoned off into new projects.
Yeah, let's take a computer to get Paul.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Sure.
Yeah, it was very enlightening.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for those questions. Any other comments, anything related to the business? If not, we stand adjourned.
Thanks, George.